for Leologos Radio, the weekly radio program featuring the best in Greek music and culture, plus interviews with Greek and international newsmakers. Leologos Radio with Michael Nevaralekis begins now.
Ταξίδι στο μυαλό, τα ρίξα όλα στο βυθό και βγήκα στον αιώνα. Λευκό πανάκι η καρδιά και το κορμάκι μου μπροστά, γυμνώ σε μια γοργόνα. Καπετάνιος ο καημός, δύσκολος καιρός. Το μικρό χωρίς πατρίδα και Θεό με κοίταξε στα μάτια. Ήρθε κοντά μου μια βραδιά και έγινα σκόνη τα πανιά και σάχτη τα κατάρτια. Καπετάνιος ο καημός, δύσκολος καιρός. Ένα ζεϊμπέκικο σαμπάχ με τη λαχτάρα τη Εράχ σε γυαλίνο ποτήρι που λέγε χίλια χρώματα να λουζόνται τα σώματα πριν βγουν στο πανηγύρι. Καπετάνιος ο καημός, δύσκολος καιρός. Το μικρό χωρίς πατρίδα και Θεό με κοίταξε στα μάτια. Ήρθε κοντά μου μια βραδιά και έγινα σκόνη τα πανιά και στάχτη τα κατάρτια. Καπετάνιος ο καημός, δύσκολος καιρός, δύσκολος καιρός, δύσκολος καιρός, δύσκολος καιρός.
A very happy new year to everyone that is listening in. This is the Leologos Radio, the Greek radio program which bridges the worldwide Greek community each week across 18 radio stations on 5 continents, on shortwave and online. My name is Michael Nevradakis, and we kicked off the year 2015 with some appropriate music to start us off with Manolis Lidakis along with Eleni Tsaligopoulou and a song titled Ξημέρωμα 1ης Ιανουαρίου 2000, The Dawn of a New Year. year and a new broadcast season here on the Alagos Radio, where we would like to welcome our new listeners who are tuned in on iroi.gr web radio, which is the 18th radio station to join our ever-growing broadcast network. And indeed, this week, we are producing our program from the iroi studios and would like to thank the iroi team for the opportunity to be heard from their studios and on their station. It is election season all of a sudden in Greece, and over the next few weeks here on the Alagos Radio, we will be featuring interviews and commentaries that will fit the pre-election mood and which will also attempt to provide the big picture that most Greek and international media outlets are missing in their coverage of Greece. Today, on this week's edition of the Alagos interview series, we will be speaking with economist and analyst Leonidas Vatikiotis, who will share his thoughts with us on the economic situation in Greece at this time, on Syriza's proposed economic program and its flaws, and on why he still believes that Greece should depart from the Eurozone. This interview with Leonidas Vatikiotis is coming up next here on the Alagos Radio. The Dialogos Interview Series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community, coming up next here on the Dialogos Radio. Joining us today on the Alagos Radio and the Alagos Interview Series for the first interview of the new year is the well-known economist and analyst Leonidas Vatikiotis. And Leonida, Happy New Year, first of all, and thank you for joining us today. Good morning, Michael. Thank you very much for the invitation. We left off before the holidays in the midst of the election for a new president of the Hellenic Republic, and we are now in the new year and in the midst of a snap parliamentary election in Greece. There are many government politicians, pro-government analysts, and many Greek and international media outlets who keep talking about the irresponsible, as they call it, stance of the opposition in not voting in favor of the government's candidate for the presidency of the Republic and for not averting the snap elections. How do you view this issue? To characterize as irresponsible a position adopted by several political parties that are represented in Parliament simply because they exercised their constitutional right not to vote for the government's candidate for the presidency is an insult to even the most basic democratic ideals. Syriza, the Communist Party of Greece, and the independent Greeks exercised their constitutional right. And if we want to get to the heart of the matter, what Greek society, as well as the political parties in Parliament learned from this is that the government did not wish to simply extend its term in office. We were told that the government wished, through the election of its candidate for the presidency of the Republic, Mr. Stavros Dimas, to extend its hold on power and to complete its full four-year term. However, what the government of Antonis Samaras and Vangelis Venizelos also wanted was essentially the acceptance by Greek society of a new and more severe memorandum agreement. We should note where the negotiations between the Greek government and its lenders left off. At the Eurogroup meeting on December 8th. At that time, the Eurozone refused to continue negotiations to complete its review of the Greek economy, pending the election of a new government in Greece. On December 8th, the negotiation cycle, which began during the summer of 2014, came to a close, and this was a period during which the government and the Prime Minister himself, Antonis Samaras, proclaimed that Greece had emerged from the crisis, that the memorandum agreements were a thing of the past, and that better better days were ahead. The Troika oversight of the Greek economy, which had been in place since May of 2010, would cease. The intentions of Greece's lenders, however, were quite different. The Troika leaked to the press that Greece still needed to ratify over 1,000 measures, which it had agreed to with the Troika, but which had not yet been passed legislatively through the Greek parliament. This was the point where the Samaras Venizelos government did not continue its negotiations, knowing that there was no way that it could fulfill the demands of the Troika and pass these measures through parliament. We should remember what these demands were and why these negotiations came to a standstill. The demands included the outlawing of strikes, the increase of tax rates in Greece's periphery, many measures which would have led to a new period of even harsher austerity for Greece. The government of Samaras and Venizelos was already on very fragile footing. We knew that it did not have the political power to pass these new measures into law because, quite simply, the government's own members of parliament would not vote for them, knowing that they would not be re-elected if they did. And so Greece's creditors, in December, demanded that these new measures be adopted by a new government with a popular mandate. And we could understand that at this stage, the Samaras government no longer possessed the legitimacy to pass and to enforce these new measures, and that it would be faced with a new wave of popular unrest. This is the context in which early elections were declared in Greece.
Της προεδρικής εκλογής μέσα από τη Βουλή, πρωτοβουλία της ίδιας της κυβέρνησης, Μιχάλη.
We are on the air with economist Leonidas Vatikiotis here on Dialogos Radio and in the Dialogos interview series. And Mr. Vatikiotis, we've been hearing as of late that the recession or depression in Greece has stopped, that Greece experienced some modest growth in 2014, indeed at the highest rate in the Eurozone. How do you view the economic state of the country leading up to the elections? Certainly, the economic depression which Greece was experiencing came to a close on paper. Greece experienced a severe depression, deeper still than the Great Depression in the United States. Greece lost 25% of its GDP since 2008, the year that the crisis began, and no other country has lost such a high percentage of its GDP during peacetime in history. It was a tremendous shock for Greek society and especially for the younger generations, which had taken for granted economic progress, the growth in incomes, and so forth. The reality, though, is that the entire foundation of the Greek economy has been altered. Yes, the GDP has stopped shrinking, and it is certain that it will begin to increase, even if only at a paltry rate of 0 to 1% per year. This, however, means nothing as far as incomes are concerned. Why is this the case? During all of the previous years, pensions, salaries, unemployment benefits, and labor rights were all decimated. It is estimated that, on average, salaries and wages in Greece have declined by 40%. Here we should also state that the Greek economy did not start from the same levels as a Germany or a Sweden. In other words, Greece was not a high-income country to begin with. Back in 2009 and 2008 and 2007, one of the dominant topics in Greece was the so-called G700, or the 700 euro generation, a new generation of youth which was well-educated but which lacked steady employment, benefits, and prospects. In fact, in the last interview given by George Papandreou before his election in 2009, which he won with 45% of the vote, he presented his policies for combating chronic unemployment amongst the youth. We need to stress this because there is a lot of talk about how salaries were a bit high in Greece and in the European South more broadly prior to the crisis, which is in fact not true. This claim comes across more as an attempt to excuse the inexcusable. It presents as logical and necessary as a correction of sorts the reduction in wages which took place. What we have now is a reality where people receive salaries of 450 euros per month, or even 200 or 300 euros per month. Large retail chains, which are indeed profitable, hire employees on a part-time basis at 250 euros per month, and we know quite well that part-time employment often actually means 6 or 7 or 8 hour workdays without additional pay and without management having to answer to anybody about this. We also have an unemployment rate which has steadied itself at 26%, with the Greek economy now being obliged to support itself on the basis of a very low rate of employment. We are talking about unemployment which has hit the youth especially hard, and particularly young women, while we have also seen a wave of migration out of the country, consisting primarily of college-educated graduates of Greek universities, particularly engineers and doctors, but also lawyers and economists who are abandoning Greece by the thousands each year for Germany, Northern Europe, the Gulf States, and the United States, quite simply because these people who are very highly educated cannot find work in their fields in Greece. The construction sector in Greece has collapsed. Research does not take place. University budgets have been slashed by as much as 60-70%, and therefore there is no employment prospect in the fields of academia, and thousands of young graduates abandon Greece, something which of course has a hugely negative impact on Greece's prospects for rebounding from the crisis. This also shows that the unemployment rate of 26% is in fact much larger, because the available employment pool has also shrunk with the departure of so many thousands of young people. What we should also keep in mind is that we have witnessed the expansion of short-term, highly flexible labor. In other words, even new job positions that have been created in recent years are a far cry from jobs which provide a steady 8-hour workday with secure benefits such as health insurance. The conclusion one comes to, therefore, is that while Greece may on paper be emerging from the crisis and from the sharp declines of its GDP by 6-7% annually, the new situation which now exists does nothing for the working classes and for retirees, except for the fact that they have lost fundamental rights which they once possessed, and which are now forced to endure a lower standard of living compared to prior to the crisis. We're speaking with economist and analyst Leonidas Fatikiotis here on the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series, and let's turn now to the economic platform put forth by Syriza. There have been many promises made to abolish the new property tax that the government levied, to return the minimum wage to pre-crisis levels, and to negotiate the reduction of Greece's national debt within the Eurozone mechanism, while we have also seen an about-face of sorts toward Syriza by a number of economists. In your opinion, is Syriza's economic program feasible, and is it enough to turn the economic situation around in Greece? The declarations made by Alexis Tsipras at the Thessaloniki International Fair in September and this past weekend at his party conference were declarations for things which obviously need to happen, such as the restoration of the minimum wage back to 751 euros per month, the abolition of the regressive income tax, the ENFIA, which taxes a small inner city apartment at the same rate as the mansions of the elite, and other similar declarations which are socially necessary and which need to be implemented in order to boost the incomes of the poor, the working classes, which experienced the brunt of the negative impact of the crisis of the past 7 years. At the same time, if you would like my opinion, these promises are not enough. What must happen, and what Syriza had promised in the past, such as at its 2013 party conference, are bolder, more radical moves which would put a complete stop to the death spiral of austerity which Greece has been enduring in recent years. For example, one such necessary and radical measure is the write-off of the majority of Greece's national debt. In my opinion, no economic measure to help the working classes can be enforced in reality if the Greek government, and whichever Greek government this is, does not take a brave decision to declare a stoppage of payments on the public debt. Let me give you one example to illustrate what I mean. In Greece, out of approximately 1.4 million people who are unemployed, only approximately 12% actually receive unemployment benefits. The remainder, the 88% of the unemployed, does not receive even 1 euro. So what do these people do? They become beggars. Knowing very well how Greek society is structured, we have 1.2 million people who are asking parents, children, relatives, and neighbors for money so they can survive literally with just a piece of bread. The call to expand unemployment benefits, and we're talking about 360 euros per month to all unemployed persons, will result in an expenditure of 6 billion euros per year. That's how much this measure would cost at the present time. 6 billion euros also happens to represent exactly the amount of money that the Greek state, meaning the Greek taxpayer, will pay in 2015 just on interest alone, and not for the repayment of bonds or the issuance of new bonds. We understand, therefore, that even such a popular measure, if it is to be implemented, has to be accompanied by a very brave decision, such as the declaration of a stoppage of payments, which must happen, in my opinion, on a unilateral basis, based on the sovereign rights that every country possesses, and without taking into account the position of Greece's lenders, in other words, Germany and the European Union, unless, of course, we also take into account their huge criminal responsibilities for the present state of affairs in Greece. I insist upon this point on the necessity of a unilateral stoppage of payments for the following reason. If we look at the write-off of Greek public debt, which took place in 2012, the so-called PSI or haircut, and compare it to other write-offs which have taken place in the recent past, we will notice the following paradox. In 2012, approximately 150 billion euros of Greek public debt was written off. In other countries which proceeded with debt write-offs, such as Ecuador, Iceland in 2012, Russia, Argentina in 2001, and so on, these countries wrote off a smaller percentage of their total debt. And what happened in these countries, indeed from the year following these write-offs? Unemployment fell sharply and growth rates exploded. In Greece, however, we saw the opposite. Because the terms Greece agreed to were imposed by its lenders, by Merkel and the bankers, the result was that Greece is in fact more heavily indebted today than it was in 2012. 150 billion euros of debt was written off, and yet today Greece's national debt totals 321 billion euros, whereas in 2010 it was 299 billion euros. In other words, the primary result of this restructuring of Greece's debt, as it was implemented by Greece's lenders, was for Greece to become more heavily indebted to those same lenders today. The second and more important consequence of this, in my opinion, is the fact that the social impacts of this write-off were huge. We need to remember that Greece's insurance funds alone lost approximately 14 billion euros as a result of the write-off. The Greek insurance system essentially was shuttered as a result, and since then, all of the reductions in pensions, the increases in the retirement age, all these policies seem like a logical consequence following the write-down. But it's not just this. The lenders also imposed draconian austerity measures on Greece on top of that in order to accept this deal. And in light of this very bitter, very dramatic experience which Greece endured in recent years at the hands of its creditors, I firmly believe that no reasoning can take place with these parties who bear such a huge responsibility for the crisis in Greece and for the sharp decline in incomes. The Greek state, just like any other country, has the right to unilaterally make decisions that it deems necessary and to unilaterally impose them upon its creditors. Let's note that those who seem to think that this is somehow unethical should remember that in the preceding years, Greece's lenders had no qualms about imposing on a unilateral basis their demands on Greece, measures which the Greek government then implemented. Did Greece truly have a say in the PSI agreement? Did Greece and its successive governments have a say with regards to the memorandum agreements, or on what basis the bond exchange or the write-down of Greece's Greece's national debt would take place, Greece had no say in any of these matters. Decisions were made by the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, the Eurozone commissioners. They were presented to Greece, and Greece simply ratified them into law, despite the overwhelming opposition of the Greek populace. Therefore, Greece could respond with its own unilateral measures, and this is something that the next Greek government should do. We are on the air with economist Leonidas Vatikiotis here on the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series. And Mr. Vatikiotis, in recent weeks, the issue of a Greek departure from the Eurozone has once again come to the forefront. And despite the fact that Syriza publicly states that it is strongly in favor of Greece remaining in the Eurozone, there are many who still maintain that Greece must leave. And on the other hand, there are some voices from within the European Union which are stating that there is no mechanism through which a member state can depart from the Eurozone. What are your views regarding the issue of a possible Eurozone departure for Greece, and what actually is the case in terms of the Eurozone's policy regarding a possible departure?
Ναι, εδώ καταρχήν πρέπει να πούμε ότι αυτή η σπέκουλα που γίνεται στοχεύει στη δημιουργία ενός κλίματος φόβου.
Here we must first state that this spectacle which is currently taking place regarding a possible Grexit is meant to create a climate of fear. The current New Democracy government, if it genuinely wished to participate in the pre-election dialogue in good faith, would be obliged to come out and to state that its party platform includes, for instance, new reductions to salaries and benefits to the elderly. But instead of doing this and committing political suicide, they instead point the finger at Syriza and claim that it is the party whose policies will impoverish Greece, and they equate this impoverishment with an exit from the Eurozone. There is a lot of political trickery taking place on this issue. One such instance has to do with the fact that Syriza, unfortunately in my opinion, has pledged to keep Greece within the Eurozone. Another instance has to do with the equation between impoverishment and a Eurozone departure, when what has already been proven is that remaining within the Eurozone results in impoverishment through the reduction of salaries, the privatization of public resources, the reduction in national sovereignty, and the conversion of an economically well-developed country into a protectorate, into a postmodern colony, such as the case of Greece today. The current government chooses not to open up a new space of public debate in good faith regarding the euro, how beneficial it is and how necessary it really is, and instead, what the government is doing is creating a climate of fear and panic, betting that this will have an impact on certain segments of Greek society. You know, if such a discourse did take place, then everyone who back in the year 2000, when Greece was admitted into the Eurozone, promised all sorts of fantastic benefits, will now have to explain themselves. All one has to do is go back and read the proclamations that were being made by politicians from both PASOK and New Democracy back then as to the great benefits that Greece would experience from its participation in the common currency, the many benefits for Greek farmers, for Greek workers, and for Greek entrepreneurs. The only thing that we have seen in reality one decade later is that the common currency wrecked the Greek economy. Essentially, Greece turned into a backwater periphery of Germany. German imports flooded the Greek market, wrecking local production, even in sectors where Greece had a comparative advantage, such as shipbuilding. With political decisions that were made, the European Union, and in essence Germany, with the criminal collaboration of Greek politicians such as former finance minister Mr. Papakostandinou, who served under Papandreou, and former defense minister Mr. Venizelos, Greece's shipyards were shut down, and their business instead flowed to German shipyards. We understand, therefore, that the Greek economy did not benefit, that Greek workers did not benefit from the euro. These are reasons, if you will, which make it necessary, even at this stage, for Greece to depart from the Eurozone. And not only that, Greece, in my opinion, should also depart from the European Union for one additional and simple reason. As long as Greece remains within the European Union, it will not have any ability to raise salaries and pensions, because it is now European Union policy for each member state to maintain a balanced budget, while deficits are completely forbidden. One does not need need to be an expert or to know the entire history of global economics to understand how many countries, including even the United States, have managed to stay afloat in contrast to what has been happening in Europe. They've done so by running deficits, which they are then able to finance. As long as the European Union continues to impose balanced budgets, and in fact even levying fines on countries which violate this diktat, then it will be impossible to implement any growth policies and for workers to benefit from a portion of the fruits of their labor. All one needs to perform is a simple equation. Even with Greece's current GDP of 182 billion euros, if that is divided amongst a population of 11 million, it comes out to approximately 16,000 euros per year per capita. Right now, there are not many households in Greece with a monthly income of 1,500 euros per month. As a result, what I want to say is that it is still possible, even today, for a redistribution of wealth to take place in Greece, but such an action is explicitly forbidden by the European Union. The reality is that the Eurozone was indeed created without any exit option. In my opinion, this is akin to an architect designing a beautiful modern building with no exits for its residents. It is unheard of for a union of nations to not provide an exit clause in case of national emergency at the very least. It shows a complete lack of planning and foresight. So there is indeed no process in place for a member state to depart from the Eurozone. However, this does not mean that Greece or any other country should be forced to remain within this insane asylum, as the Eurozone has sometimes been described. Each member state has the absolute right to undertake a cost-benefit analysis regarding staying in the Eurozone or not, and has the right to implement the decisions that it deems to be best for its own people, without any regard for the consequences this decision may have for other countries. This should not come across as indifferent or unethical in any way. Germany, when it decides to implement policies which result in a shutdown of Spanish shipyards or light industry in Italy, does not concern itself as to what the impacts will be on Spanish laborers or on unemployment in the south of Italy. The same thing is true of Greece. I don't understand why smaller countries should engage in this show of fake solidarity and why they should take into account the concerns of a country like Germany, when Germany unilaterally and with quite a dose of discreetness proceeds with the implementation of policies which are destructive for these same countries, but which are in the interests of Germany's major industries.
Ως γνώμονα για τις επιλογές τα συμφέροντα των γερμανικών πολύ μεγάλων επιχειρήσεων.
We are speaking with economist and analyst Leonidas Vatikiotis here on Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos Interview Series. And Leonidas, a few months ago, you were a candidate in the European parliamentary elections with the Andalusia political party. Will Andalusia be participating in the upcoming elections? And as a follow-up, what do you foresee politically for Greece following the January 25th elections? Andalusia will be participating in the elections of the 25th of January, asking for the votes of Greek laborers, the youth, and the elderly for many reasons. First, we aim to enter Parliament in order to express the struggles, the desires, and the needs of the Greek people for a better life. The most important thing for us, in our opinion, is not so much what will take place in Parliament in the coming months or years, but instead, the development of new social struggles, of new popular pressures, which will result in policies which will represent a true change from the depressing reality of the present. And this is what we are trying to accomplish today. The conditions exist in Greece today for the development of an early spring, and I am not referring to the results of the upcoming elections. The conditions exist for the Greek people to once again take the lead in the developments which will take place in their own country, to overcome the pessimism, the defeatism, the misery which they have experienced since 2012 in comparison to the period between 2010 and 2012. The period which will follow will certainly have in store for us many unpredictable events, and the Greek people can once again come out onto the streets and impose their own conditions and essentially overturn the policies of austerity and regain the right to their own livelihoods.
εξουσίαση, να ανατρέψει την λιτότητα, να μπορέσει ουσιαστικά να ξανακερδίσει τη ζωή, να την πάρει στα χέρια του.
Mr. Vatikiotis, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today here on Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos Interview Series.
Να είστε καλά και εγώ.
Thank you very much. Attention iTunes users, Dialogos Radio is now just a click away. You can now download our podcasts and listen to Dialogos Radio 24/7 anytime, anywhere. Check us out today in the iTunes podcast directory and in iTunes Radio. We just wrapped up this week's edition of the Dialogos interview series and our interview with economist Leonidas Vatikiotis as part of our Greek election coverage here on Dialogos Radio. The podcast of this interview will soon be available on our website, dialogosmedia.org, in the official Dialogos Radio apps for Android, Kindle, and BlackBerry devices, and for Google Chrome, and in iTunes, TuneIn.com, the Windows Marketplace, and Anobex Radio, WeCast, and Player FM apps. Dialogos Radio's Commentary of the Week. Each week, Michael Navradakis provides views and opinions on issues pertaining to Greece and to the worldwide Greek community. Coming up next, here on Dialogos Radio. We suddenly find ourselves in the midst of campaign season in Greece, as snap parliamentary elections have been declared for the 25th of January of this new year. In the lead-up to the elections, there are many in Greece and indeed in Europe and around the world who are placing their hopes with Syriza, Greece's main opposition party, which is currently leading in the polls and which is favored to emerge victorious in the upcoming elections, though it remains to be seen whether it will attain a large enough percentage of the vote to form a majority in a new parliament, or if it will be forced to try to form a coalition with other smaller parties. With all the political developments shaping up in Greece, I could not help but put together a number of questions, both for Syriza and for the rest of the political system, questions that are largely rhetorical in nature. I'll leave it to you, the Dialogos Radio listener, to ponder what the answers to these questions might be. Why is it, for instance, that every time an electoral contest is set to take place in Greece, new political parties from old political forces seem to crop up out of the woodwork? And why is it that these parties always seem to be geared toward taking a percentage of the vote away from Syriza in particular? In 2012, we had Dimar, the so-called Democratic Left, which then signed on to a coalition government with the pro-austerity New Democracy and PASOK parties. In the last year's European parlementary elections, it was Το Ποτάμι, founded by pro-government, pro-establishment, pseudo-hipster celebrity journalist Stavros Theodorakis, with its own pro-memorandum, pro-austerity views. And now it is the Movement of Democrats and Socialists, founded by the disgraceful former Prime Minister of Greece, the American-born George Papandreou, who is the Prime Minister under whom Greece's economic statistics were manipulated and Greece was forced under IMF and Troika supervision and austerity, while Papandreou was also in talks with former IMF head Dominik Strauss-Kahn prior to the 2009 elections. Who is funding these parties, and what purpose do they really serve? Why is it, in addition, that every time an electoral contest or some major political development shapes up in Greece, that there is suddenly either some sort of attack that is blamed on terrorists or the arrest of a so-called terrorist? Does anybody seriously believe that the arrest of Christodoulos Xyros, supposedly Greece's most wanted terrorist, just coincidentally happened to take place right around the time elections were called? Why should the Greek and international media and their coverage of the Greek elections be trusted when they are the ones who promoted the pro-austerity government and who kept repeating that Greece would return to growth in 2011, in 2012, in 2013, and in 2014, and which are now again attempting to terrorize everyone about what will happen if Syriza wins or if Greece departs from the Eurozone? Why is it that after over 5 years of crisis and economic austerity, Party, and despite the proliferation of many left-wing and populist parties, that Syriza is the only such party that has made any headway in the polls, while most other such parties have actually declined. Why is there such a lack of support for other parties that profess to be anti-memorandum and anti-austerity? Why is it that Greece seems to be once again returning to a bipolar, two-party political system, and whose interests does this serve? And that leads me to some questions for Syriza. Will the many factions and political wings which together comprise Syriza, some of which apparently do not support the party's official pro-Euro, pro-EU line, continue their opposition when and if Syriza comes to power? Or will the sweet taste of power temper their convictions? Syriza, despite its pro-European Union line, has also made many promises to abolish the regressive property tax, to restore the minimum wage to pre-crisis levels, to reopen national public broadcaster ERT, and to roll back some of the more severe social cuts of the past few years. Will Syriza keep these promises, however? And what will its excuse be if it does not keep these promises, and how will the public react? Why should Syriza be any more believable with its promises than New Democracy was prior to the 2012 elections, when it put forth 18 campaign promises that pledged to end austerity and the memorandums with the Troika? And why has support lingered for Syriza, despite the fact that it has watered down so many of its supposedly radical positions? The government and the media, as well as the Nobel Prize-winning EU officials, have in 2012 and again with the current elections attempted to terrorize the Greek public with the false dilemma of us in a euro or them, the drachma, and chaos and poverty. What should stop Syriza, however, from justifying potentially unpopular policies and broken promises of its own with a false dilemma such as it's either us or the far right? Syriza has also encompassed many former members of PASOK, the party which governed Greece for the majority of the past 40 years and which is renowned for its corruption. Will Syriza make an honest effort to cleanse the political system of corruption and patronage, or will we see a return to the old patronage system of PASOK? Why is Syriza and its supporters suddenly so adamantly pro-Euro, and why does it insist that it is not even going to use the potential departure from the Eurozone as a bargaining chip with the Troika? Even if it does not believe it, why would Syriza not want to use one of the strongest cards that it has to achieve its objectives? Does it not want to play hardball with the Troika as it claims it is willing to do? And what will Syriza do if the EU does not budge, if it insists on Greece maintaining a balanced budget, if it insists on more cuts and more austerity, and if it refuses to renegotiate Greece's debt? Will Syriza still maintain its pro-EU, pro-Euro stance? Finally, how exactly does Syriza plan to combat the Greek media and its corrupt owners, who are also behind Greece's banking system, behind Greece's major contractors, behind Greece's major oil and gas companies, the insurance industry, and other major business interests? Will it investigate their practices? Will it finally issue licenses to television and radio stations instead of simply allowing these moguls to operate as they please on the airwaves without a license? Does Syriza have any plans to combat the absolutely and despicably corrupt Greek justice system and to build a system that is truly independent of political or other forms of interference? What is Syriza's plan to reinvigorate Greece's education system, to rebuild Greece's decaying public universities, to provide a quality public primary and secondary education without forcing families to spend a fortune on private tutoring lessons just so their children can pass? Will Syriza invest in funding for research and development? Does it have a plan to try to attract some of the brightest young Greek scholars that have left the country in droves back to Greece? Does Syriza have a plan to restart public works throughout the country and projects that could jumpstart the economy and put thousands of people back to work? And finally, the biggest question of them all, and the one that I will leave you with for today, is who is funding Syriza and what are their motives? Hey Take the Dialogos Radio on the go with you with the new Dialogos Radio app for Android devices. Now you can listen live to the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos Radio 24/7, download our podcasts, and read our latest articles all in our free Android app, available now in the Google Play Store. That was our commentary of the week here on the Dialogos Radio, and coming up now is a special musical feature on one of the most significant names in modern Greek music, Christos Thivaeus. Born on the 7th of January 1963 in Athens, Thivaeus, who is the nephew of well-known Greek actor Andonis Papadopoulos, has enjoyed a long and successful musical career for the past 2+ decades. His career got started in 1994 when he co-founded the Synithis Epopti, or Usual Suspects, which became one of Greece's more prominent rock bands of the 1990s. The Synithis Epopti released 2 albums along the way before breaking up in the year 2000. Following this, Thivaeus embarked on a solo career, beginning in 2002 with the release of his first solo album, O Omelet de Selinis, which has been followed by 4 more solo and live albums since then. Thivaeus has also collaborated with some of the foremost names in Greek music during this time. We'll hear some music now by Thivaeus as part of our spotlight on his music and career here on the Dialogos Radio.
Δεν είναι αλήθεια πως άνοιξε η πόρτα και μπήκε στο σκοτάδι του κήπου η ευωδιά. Απ' τα υγρά τα χόρτα. Δεν είναι αλήθεια στο άβατο αυτό που έσβηνε η ζωή μου πως άναψε στα χείλια κρυφό φιλί. Μαλλιά βρεγμένα, δάχτυλα πλεγμένα, το φως που ξημερώνει, η αγάπη που λυτρώνει. Στη θάλασσα, να κρυφτούμε στη θάλασσα, να χαθούμε στη θάλασσα, στη θάλασσα μαζί, στη θάλασσα μαζί. Πως είδαμε τα αστέρια μαζί με το φεγγάρι να κρέμονται γλυκά απ' των κλαδιών τα χέρια. Κι αν είναι αλήθεια πως ήρθε καλοκαίρι, ο ήλιος ο ζεστός μας πήρε μια για πάντα απ' της βροχής τα μέρη. Μαλλιά βρεγμένα, δάχτυλα μπλεγμένα, το φως που ξημερώνει, η αγάπη που λυτρώνει. Στη θάλασσα, να κρυφτούμε στη θάλασσα, να χαθούμε στη θάλασσα, στη θάλασσα μαζί, στη θάλασσα μαζί. Μαλλιά βρεγμένα, δάχτυλα πλεγμένα, το φως που ξημερώνει, η αγάπη που λυτρώνει. Στη θάλασσα, να κρυφτούμε στη θάλασσα, να χαθούμε στη θάλασσα, στη θάλασσα μαζί, στη θάλασσα μαζί. Στη θάλασσα μαζί. Σ' αυτή την αγκαλιά, στα σκουριασμένα σύννεφα, στα φύλλα, στη σβραγμένη γη, στη μυρωδιά. Ας ήταν ένα πνιγό σαν μια σταγόνα μέσα στα χείλια σου εγώ. Βροχή μου σκέπασε αυτή τη γωνιά, τούτο το σώμα που διψά. Ας ήταν ένα πνιγό σαν μια σταγόνα μέσα στα χείλια σου εγώ. Βροχή μου σκέπασε αυτή τη γωνιά, τούτο το σώμα που διψά. Βραχίκια στους καταβλισμούς χορεύουν τα παιδιά. Στάζει ο Θεός στις προσευχές, στο τέφι, στις καρδιές, τα πόδια τα γυμνά. Ας ήταν ένα πνιγό σαν μια σταγόνα μέσα στα χείλια σου εγώ. Βροχή μου σκέπασε αυτή τη γωνιά, τούτο το σώμα που διψά. Ας ήταν ένα πνιγό σαν μια σταγόνα μέσα στα χείλια σου εγώ. Βροχή μου σκέπασε αυτή τη γωνιά, τούτο το σώμα που διψά. Ήρθες βροχή μου κι άλλαξες το δρόμο και το νου, και βούλιαξε το βήμα μου ποτάμι. Σταγόνα μέσα στα χείλια σου εγώ. Βροχή μου σκέπασε αυτή τη γωνιά, τούτο το σώμα που διψά. Ας ήταν ένα πνιγό σαν μια σταγόνα μέσα στα χείλια σου εγώ. Βροχή μου σκέπασε αυτή τη γωνιά, τούτο το σώμα που διψά. Σταγόνα μέσα στα χείλια σου εγώ. Βροχή μου σκέπασε αυτή τη γωνιά, τούτο το σώμα που διψά. Ας ήταν ένα πνιγό σαν μια σταγόνα μέσα στα χείλια σου εγώ. Βροχή μου σκέπασε αυτή τη γωνιά, τούτο το σώμα που διψά. Σαν μια σταγόνα μέσα στα χείλια σου εγώ. Βροχή μου σκέπασε αυτή τη γωνιά, τούτο το σώμα που διψά.
Follow Dialogos Radio on Facebook and Twitter and remain connected to all our latest news and updates. Check us out today at facebook.com/dialogosmedia and at twitter.com/dialogosmedia. This is the Dialogos Radio, the worldwide Greek radio program, which is heard each week on 18 radio stations across 5 continents on shortwave and online. We just heard Avato and Anthupoli, two songs by Christos Thiveos, as part of our spotlight into his career and music here on the Dialogos Radio, where our program is just about ready to come to a close for this week. Be sure to check out our website, dialogosmedia.org, where you can find links to our recent articles which have been published in Truthout, including our recent interviews with economists Mark Blythe and Hajun Chang. And in addition, you can also find a special bonus podcast from our recent interview on eroi.gr web radio about the long state of corruption and censorship in Greece's media. And finally, we also have information about the release of economist Mark Blythe's award-winning book, Austerity, The History of a Dangerous Idea in Greek, with translation work performed by yours truly. All that and more is available on our website, dialogosmedia.org. Dialogos Radio will be back on the air again next week, same time, same place, where we will continue our election coverage with an interview with economist and analyst Dimitris Kazakis. Until then, we'll close out with one more song by Christos Thiveos titled Mikri Patrida. Thank you for joining us once again today, and have a wonderful weekend.
Το
ομίστικο το κόσμο να ανασάνει. Το πιο μακρύ ταξίδι μου εσύ, η νύχτα εσύ, το όνειρο της μέρας. Μικρή πατρίδα, σώμα μου κι αρχή, η γη μου εσύ, ανάσα μου κι αέρας. Η γη μου εσύ, ανάσα μου κι αέρας.